Welcome back into Morning Drive on this Wednesday edition of the show. ESPN 102.5 The Game, Nick Cale, Braden Gall, Derek Mason coming up at the top of the hour. A lot of good Preds conversation. We'll get Willie Dawnick an hour from now, but right now in his weekly spot, we welcome in ESPN's Greg Wyshynski. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing excellent. So I want to run a stat by you and see if this carries any weight. During the regular season, Pecorine with 2 days of rest or more is 11-3-0 with a 199 goals against and a save percentage of 936. Does that have any bearing in the playoffs, as he will now have a little over 2 days for a big game seven?
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, seeing him put together two consecutive good starts in these playoffs has been a rarity. So one hopes that extra day might give him the extra edge in a game seven. Look, it's been an up and down series for him, for the team's defense overall. But it's clear what the mission is. The mission is for him to play, you know, arguably his best game of the series in this game seven, and to you know, do the thing that I thought was going to give him the edge in this series to begin with, which is to rely on the experience that he had last year in playing in pressure situations, to rely on the home crowd. I mean, you go through the whole regular season, this dopey 82-game season that we all say doesn't mean anything, to get to this point, which is to play a definitive game on your home ice against a team like Winnipeg, to rely on those two things, to be defensively responsible, and to hope that experience that they had in the run last year allows them to play with a certain calmness and mistake-free hockey that puts them over the Jets at the end of the series.
I don't think tomorrow night has an impact on Pecorine's legacy locally. You know, within the Nashville fandom and community, I think he's the best, greatest Predator of all time, at least for the short term, until Forsberg or Yossi takes that from him in 10 years. But what about nationally? I mean, this is a guy who's probably going to win the Vezina Trophy. He's been to a cup final. I know it's just a second-round series, but this is the best two teams in the league, and they're playing in a Game 7. The whole hockey world's watching. How much of his legacy is on the line tomorrow night?
Legacy-wise, you're right. I mean, it's first of all, it would suck if he gets blown up in a Game 7 and wins the Vezina next month. It's kind of a bummer there. Listen, I think what he accomplished last postseason cemented his legacy. I mean, you know, the three rounds of amazing hockey, which I think is the reason why he's going to win the Vezina, is, you know, kind of a carryover not only from, you know, his performance in the regular season, but also what he accomplished in the postseason last year. I don't know. It's interesting. I can't speak for the casual fan, but I know for those of us who follow the game closely, Winnipeg's really good. And you know, when they've got two lines rolling really well offensively, when they're playing their game, their speed game, they've been able to kind of exert their will on the Predators in this series. So, you know, we all expect him to be able to step up and to play an incredible game and you know, carry the team. But at the same time, you have to give credit where credit's due to the opponents and the amount of offense they can pour on you. It's weird. I go back to that game four in Winnipeg and the fact that, you know, not only did he play well in that game, but the Jets players afterwards talking about the way that the Predators put the clamps on defensively. And, you know, you got guys talking about how they skated into a brick wall. I mean, that's the kind of effort that I think you are expecting in this game seven, above and beyond whatever Pekka gives you, is a total team effort that we know the Predators can unleash. They just have to find a way to do it. And what's going to be probably a very chaotic atmosphere, let's be honest.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN.com, joining us here on Morning Drive. Greg, when we look at the five teams left standing, the two in the East and the three in the Western Conference, right now, what do you think would be the most compelling Stanley Cup final of the teams left that are still available to compete for it?
Oh, it's definitely Vegas and Washington would be the most compelling. If Vegas is in there, it's going to capture a wide collection of casual sports fans to see if an expansion team is going to win the cup. And then on top of that, obviously, Washington has been, just a horror show in the playoffs for the majority of their franchise's existence, to see if they can pull that off, to see if Ovechkin can finally win his cup. Would be extraordinarily compelling. For me personally, I think that, you know, as a writer, the Washington Nashville series would be pretty incredible too. I mean, you know, Trotz versus Nashville and the Forsberg trade stuff and Poyle in the Capitals and, you know, on the ice, PK versus Ovechkin. I mean, there's a lot there to unpack between the Predators and the Capitals if that series happens too. But any combination of Vegas versus anybody in the final, I think, would probably be the most compelling thing just for viewership and attention.
Much like the conversation around Pekka and sort of his national legacy, which is very different, obviously, here locally. But Forsberg, I mean, what you need is you need highlight reel plays, highlight reel goals, and consistency over time. He's starting to sort of build that and show up in the postseason. He has probably the two most, you know, viral goals of the postseason outside of Crosby's deflection in Game 1 against Philly. Is Forsberg entering a new stratosphere, a new status through this series right now?
Well, my friends in the Nashville community that follow me on Twitter will probably be happy to hear that. Yes, I believe he's a star player now. I think he's graduated from being a name that we all knew to being somebody that you make time to watch because, you know, the minute you start, you know, putting out these viral clips, like you said, and scoring goals in the manner in which he scored them in Game 6, you make time to watch a player like that's able to accomplish that sort of thing. The only component missing for Forsberg right now as far as completely being on that next level would probably be challenging for some scoring titles and being in the mix for awards and things like that. But right now, I mean, he's you know, clearly one of the most exciting offensive players in these playoffs, and rightfully so. I mean, he's pretty incredible.
Greg Wyshynski is with us here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Greg, in theory, the playoffs should get more difficult as you go along round by round. And as you just mentioned, Winnipeg is really, really good. If the Predators win on Thursday night, do you think they will have passed their most difficult test for the entire playoff run? Like, is this by far the most toughest matchup for them, even with what could be ahead in the Western Conference Finals or whoever comes out of the East?
Well, it depends what you mean by tough, because I think, like, from a firepower perspective, Winnipeg is on another level. I mean, Tampa can bring it. They've got some depth, but I just don't know if they've got necessarily the same sort of offensive depth that Winnipeg brings in this series. So from that perspective, it might be their toughest challenge. But, you know, if you're talking about toughness of play and toughness of getting by a certain team and being a tough out, Vegas might be it. I mean, like you got to be a believer now. You know, the win over the Kings was strong. The win over the Sharks was emphatic and really incredible, winning games and overtime and that kind of thing, showing the maturation of themselves as a contender. And you know, the toughness of an opponent, I think, is sometimes conveyed by the teams that have played them. And you know, to a man, the Kings and the Sharks said, "Look, every single game was a battle. These guys never stop. They never quit. They roll four lines." You know, Winnipeg might be the toughest team as far as firepower goes, but Vegas might be the toughest team insofar as the way that they compete.
So, Greg, I can't figure out or find anything. We certainly know the Preds have a blueprint for success. Games 4 and Game 6 maybe gave them that, but it doesn't feel like a single thing has carried over from game to game throughout the course of the series. Statistically, these two teams are sort of absurdly even going into this game. Is there anything that you know definitively that will happen on Thursday night?
Well, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I heard from a few people that the home crowd in Game 5 was a little bit more subdued than you'd expect. And maybe that's just like a playoff tension sort of thing or what have you. But, I mean, I would imagine it's going to be a madhouse. I imagine that in a Game 7 atmosphere, the home crowd's going to be insane. But other than that, it's an elimination game for both teams. And I think that, you know, we all search for trends. We're talking about Pekka's rest time and, you know, all this other stuff, the up and downness of the series. I think when you get to a Game 7, a lot of that flies out the window and it becomes, you know, one bounce one way or the other that determines which team advances. So can't say anything definitively is going to happen in a Game 7 other than I expect the Predators' top line to be the best line in the game. Right. I mean, I think these guys, you're starting to see it on a regular basis and have seen on a regular basis them generate chances and put goals on the board. And I can't imagine that that trend's going to be bucked into Game 7.
Here's what I can tell you, having been at every game last year and this year, it was louder in the pregame than maybe any other game I can remember. The first period was extremely loud. But when you give up four goals in 10 minutes, that has an impact on a home crowd. So I think the third period, and then you score 30 seconds into the third period. So I will tell you, I think the crowd in the third period, it was a little subdued. And I think at game two, it was incredibly nervous because they gave up the lead with a minute to go. And then overtime was like, this felt like the season. So there was a lot of puckering happening in that building. And I think that's sort of been the case all series because they finally have expectations now.
Well, yeah, and you know, as somebody who's covered the Washington Capitals for a really long time, I know the feeling of walking into a building for a game seven and feeling the puckering. So you know, it's going to happen. It's a natural reaction for any fan. And I guess the key to the series is, or the key to the game would be to hop on top and score the first goal and give these fans a reason to believe.
Greg, great stuff as always. We appreciate it, and we will touch base with you next week. Thank you very much.
Anytime, boys. Thanks.
You got it. Greg Wyshynski, ESPN.com, joining us here on Morning Drive. When we come back, we will give you a piece of audio that you just heard, or maybe you missed it, from Greg Wyshynski. He did not hesitate talking about the best matchup in the Stanley Cup Finals.